Okay. Go.
All right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You're listening to The Journey to River, episode 74. My name is Daniel.
And I'm Yvonne.
All right. I'm feeling nicely stretched out here, man. How are you feeling?
You're super chill. You're like kicking back, legs up. I'm like leaning forward, about to eat the mic.
We had a, what would you call it? Sudden passing of one of our boom arms.
Oh, yes, we did.
We forgot to mention. we've got a habit of talking about our equipment that fail. So, our first two Rode Mics episode, whatever it was, pre the year mark, I think it was.
Yeah, that's right. They died.
They died. So, we had a...
We just lost a boom arm.
3 seconds, minute, 3 second silence for them. I don't know if we're going to go for a silencing episode for the boom arm, but I'm nicely stretched out and Ivan's not, and I feel...
Well, I'm leaning over the small stand, so it's all right.
I said before the show, I was like, I feel bad, dude. I'm like fully relaxed, chilled out, boom arm right near me, and you're just doing this like...
Hunch. Oh, man, I can grab the mic. Yeah, we'll pull the mic up. I'll kick back so you don't feel uncomfortable. Hold on.
It's like, I feel uncomfortable.
Cue the intro while I get ready.
My name's Ivan, and I'm a scientist by day and a writer by night.
And I'm Daniel. I'm a neuromuscular therapist, and I run my own practice.
And you're listening to the weekly podcast, Journey to Wherever.
Enjoy the show. I feel uncomfortable. Right. I feel comfortable, but too... Like, I'm so comfortable, I feel uncomfortable. Does that make sense?
No, I'm good now.
You're good?
So now I can't see you. Now I've got to turn. Anyway, man, yeah, as you said, episode 74, Journey to Wherever. Hope everyone's had a fantastic week. And we're back here yet for another episode. And it is, I tweeted this morning on Twitter, it's show day. It was trying to be a play on, it's snow day.
It's show day.
Because, you know, it's snowing in some parts of the world that never snow or haven't snowed for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's pretty sticky and humid here in lovely Sydney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is indeed. So, yeah, man. How's your week been?
Long. Short but long. If I was saying before the podcast, I was just been working long hours. That's all. Just, I've been kind of like, it's funny because I'm pretty sure there was a day where I went to bed Tuesday night and I woke up Thursday morning. That's how I felt.
When you said that, then I was like trying to do the math in my head. I'm like, hold on a second. Did you actually do that?
No, I didn't. But it felt like that. I went to bed
on Saturday morning and woke up on Saturday morning. Here we are.
it's just weird because it was like, it felt like long days, but they felt very fast as well. So Normally long days transpire with a long week, but it's just, yeah, it was all right. It's been a good week. It's just long.
Sounds like time travel to me.
Yeah, I guess you can call it that. But apart from that...
I watched The Time Machine recently, the old one. Did I tell you that?
No.
Like the 1960s version of The Time Machine. Like the old school.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what do they call it? Panacolor? No.
I don't know.
Oh, those old vintage reels. And I was... people who born or watch things around the 60s are like, that ain't vintage, but, you know, it's pre my birth time.
Real old.
But no, it was... I watched it again. I know it's got this... I was staying up late one night and my wife went to bed. And if I go to bed too early, I stay awake for hours. I can't climb into bed. No. Yeah. So I'm just like, stuff it. I'm laying on the couch and watching a movie.
So what time are you hitting the sack these days?
Last night was about 1:30.
Damn.
Well, this morning was about 1:30. And then, but yeah, I watched The Time Machine. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's good to kind of kick back and watch an old school movie.
Mm. You know what I got shitty about this week?
What?
It's on record, but I haven't watched the latest episode of Vikings.
Don't even tell me that you've watched it yet.
Mm.
What?
I've been getting home really late.
Man.
Was it good? Just... Yes. Yeah, okay.
Hold on, let me... I just saw your face.
It's enough.
I said, yeah... No, but hold on a second. I said yes, but I don't even remember what the episode was about. Hold on a second. Let me think. I'm trying to remember what the episode was about.
It's heating up. I know it's heating up.
Nah, it was pretty good.
Okay,
I think
cool.
I walked away and gone, that's pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, I'm hanging for that. So, yeah, this week's flown, but long, if that makes sense. Any sense at all.
Yeah.
How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been... it's been a busy week again. I've probably felt like I needed the end of the week to arrive.
Mm-hmm.
Last week was super busy. This week's been busy, less busy. I've kind of had some chance to work on some new projects and stuff, which is good, which is nice to kick it off from the start of the week. I'm still off social media and the web. Mm. So I'm kind of... I feel a little bit disconnected from the reality of the world at the moment.
It's funny you say
I opened
that.
Up our... Because the only thing I open up is our social media accounts for our podcast.
Yeah.
Because I do work on that.
Yeah.
And then I opened it up. So then the news feed shows up linked to our podcast Twitter thing. And then it said like, NASA lands Perseverance rover, and I was like, what? When did this happen? So I'm like, I can't even keep up. So I'm finding this is a bit of a conundrum now, because I can't even keep up with the news that I actually want to hear.
Sorry, say that again.
I can't actually even keep up now with the news that I want to hear. Like, you know, NASA landing.
Too much infiltration.
NASA landing, rovers on Mars to collect samples and send data back. That's something I'm interested in.
Yeah.
And then my son, we're sitting at the dinner table. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, like there's a... NASA landed on Mars. And I was like, they did? He's like, yeah, we watched it in school, like in class. And everyone's like cheering and clapping when it landed. So they watched the reel of when it was landing.
Wow.
And I thought that was pretty cool. Like, you know, that kids these days get to... Well, not kids these days. They did stuff like that in the past with the moon. But now it's like it gets integrated into the lesson that they get to learn.
The difference is they watched it in class was when we were in school, we had to like get every single student into the library looking at the one box.
And it was a videotape.
Yeah.
VHS from something that was filmed ages ago that was passed around through all the teachers and then finally made it to your class.
Yeah.
Whereas now they literally open up the web browser and go click.
I know.
So it's pretty brilliant. But I'm off the social media still for the most part. And
I haven't been on social media either, funnily enough.
Has it been invigorating? Refreshing? You've had a big week, so it's probably hard.
I've not, unlike you, consciously switched off from it.
Yeah.
Whereas I've just... haven't been on it, and then I realized that I haven't been on it, and I'm like, oh, I haven't been on it. I don't know if I feel invigorating. I watch a lot of sports, a lot of soccer, so I've felt out of touch with the latest score lines.
That's the challenge.
That's the only thing that I'm missing out.
Yeah.
You know, the odd funny meme, it's always a good bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
But I haven't been on it either for probably a couple of days at least.
Yeah, it's benefits because it gets more time. But as I said, it means that I kind of miss out on the news. So I need to come up with some sort of a balance about how I can consume content and do it in a comfortable, lighthearted way. But I feel like I'm not as serious.
Surely there's an app for the type of news that you want. Like if you're into those...
News is so biased these days. It's hard to
Just the news that say for example, like the NASA type stuff.
There'd be science ones. I tried to find some science blogs this week.
You were trying to?
Trying to find some good science blogs. But I'm sure there is. Blogging's... There's just not much out there now. I think everyone's kind of steering away and moving to the podcast space.
I kind of feel like if you're like an established blogger, you're still blogging.
Yeah, but if you're going and then new...
anywhere in the middle, there's probably none left. And if you're starting off, you're probably enjoying the fact that you're blogging and you're just happy to be in the space.
Yeah.
Which means there's probably not as much content as you'd probably want it to be.
So I found it difficult to find some news that I would read. However, I've been watching some good space channels and stuff like that on YouTube, which has been quite interesting.
Okay.
Live
space channels?
No. It's more like... there's one channel called PBS Space Time. And it's basically a black holes, quantum mechanics, time travel, all that holes. Kind of
You like that stuff, don't you?
Right, it's right up my alley. But anyway, I opened up the YouTube app, and now YouTube kind of likes to feed you some stuff too. You know, they're getting a little bit like, you know, socially.
Yeah.
And one of the things that came up was, as I was scrolling through like recommended videos to see what I wanted to watch while I was eating my Vegemite toast with my coffee bag coffee this morning.
Yeah.
There's the video titled Fatberg.
Okay.
Massive fatberg extracted or removed from sewer. And I was like, what is a fatberg?
You've got me interested.
And I was like, shit. Like,
is that like fat / bird?
Fatberg.
Oh, fatberg.
Like iceberg, but like, no ice, fat. Like fatberg. By the way, if anyone's listening to this,
this is disgusting.
While eating their drive-through sausage egg McMuffin.
Just stop.
Or...
chew what you finish. Chew what's in your mouth.
Having your lunch, or you kind of, I don't know, licking an ice cream cone or some shit. Like,
just stop
for a second.
Just stop.
Just while I open up what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
So, it said fatberg removal from sewer or something like that. I'm like, what is that? And there's this guy in like a white suit, and he's like heaving in the video thumbnail. And I was like,
oh no.
And he's like in this bricked out sewer looking thing. And I'm like, that looks gross. I gotta click it and watch it. and I don't like watching.
That's disgusting.
Like,
let me look at it.
I don't like, because some people are really into like like that Dr. Pimple shit.
No, I'm not into that. I'm not
either. I can't go there. I don't like it.
No.
Some people like it. I know it's their thing. It's their jam. I don't. I prefer to watch clumps of shit in sewers. So what I did is I clicked on this video link. To my demise, it was vile. So basically...
it's funny how you're like, God damn it, it's more disgusting than what I thought.
So basically, there's these guys. Well, there's these guys, right? It's their job.
Mm.
They suit up. And they climb, this was in, I watched two videos. One was in like somewhere in the UK and one of them was in like the US. And they go underground in these sewers. So they climb down these ladders and go into the underground sewers under the streets. And they basically open up the story like back in the day when sewerage wasn't managed well, probably being on the street, everybody's waste kind of gets thrown out, people spread disease, you know, because there's just like human waste on the floor and just wetness and rain and not only the smell must be putrid as well, but so what they did is they basically built sewerage systems, big underground tunnels and bunkers essentially, lined with bricks, and they'd make these things, and that's, and then all the sewerage systems would feed into the sewer lines. And when you're a kid, like, you know when you like lose your tennis ball or your skateboard down the drain, like the little cage thing, the stormwater drain, and you do the stupid thing of opening the cage up, climbing down to get your ball out of your skateboard, and you're like,
countless times,
stinks down here, and you quickly climb out, and you narrowly avoided a flash flood being sucked in, never to be seen again. These guys do this for a living. So they go down underground, and
Are they harnessed?
Huh?
Are they harnessed?
No, no, they just climb down a ladder. They're wearing like a white Tyvek-y kind of plasticky suit with gum boots and a hard hat and gloves.
Because they need the hard hat.
And gloves. Well, I don't know. They need a hard hat in case shit falls from the roof. No mask.
Oh, God forbid. No masks?
No mask.
Oh, my goodness.
We're getting people to wear masks. In fact, there's potential experts recommending double masking. But when we send people down a sewer...
No masks.
...where water splashes and sends... fecal droplets in the air.
Everything is like...
everything is just liquefied human poop.
Yeah.
They're not wearing a mask. They're just like, here's a 6-inch shovel. Go and shovel shit, literally.
Yeah.
No mask. So they climb down. And they're walking through and the guy's like, oh, yep, so this is a sewer. And all these brown water's like flowing out of it. And the guy's like, ugh, it stinks, you know. And then they finally get to this like turn where there's like a pipe and it's like a bend and like a downstair thing. And then there's like this giant blockage. Like blockage. I'm not talking like you try and flush your home toilet and the water rises, or you try and flush your sink and it bubbles a bit. These underground tunnels are like, I don't know, 10, 20 meters wide, high, like cylinders long. You know, and then they've got these channels that come off at like a few meters wide. The entire thing is blocked.
But like a boulder of fat.
Just this boulder of like stuff. Ends up turning out that it's like solidified fat, hence the word fatberg. I know your face is kind of cringing now.
I'm holding on.
Have a sip of your freshly purified
Sydney
water.
I'm thirsty, but I'm going to hold back until you're finished. I don't want fatberg to go down my throat.
And so anyway, so they look at it and he's like, these guys are in their gumboots and stuff and they kind of like walking and then they just walk down, 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 and then like kind of like walk waist deep into the fatberg. And they've got these little shovels. No joke, when I say 6 foot, they're like, or 6 inches, probably like maybe half a meter in size little shovel. And they're like, oh, we've got to get rid of it. So they literally start just cracking up it. All of this fat underground.
Jesus.
No masks.
Oh, man.
Nothing.
These and guys then
the
must get paid.
The TV presenter's like, and he's like, you're right. He's like, what'd you have for breakfast? And he's like, oh, you'll probably see it soon. Like, yeah, I come over here
in the fatberg.
So they end up breaking this stuff up. It turns out that these flushable wipes that people use don't decompose as they're marketed on the packaging.
Well, we don't know. Hey? It's not like we can find out whether it's true or not.
Someone's finding out.
Now they are.
The fatberg hunters. And they basically clump up into these blobs underground.
I just got the Ghostbusters tune in my head.
Fat, they look like Ghostbusters as they're dressed. Fat collects on these wipes, builds into this massive globulated blob, and ends up becoming like, you know, meters and meters and meters in size. Wow. Anyway, it led me to think, in my head, I was like, geez, that's a shit job.
They must in get paid a literal and figurative sense. Bank, though.
You know what, man? I don't know.
I reckon they would. A lot of those jobs, like these days, like you have to be a special human being.
You've got to have some thick skin.
And then you must be looking at that dollar signs going, yeah, buddy.
Because back in the day, I think they probably would have paid these people pennies and it would have been the, no one wants to go down there.
It would have been the pits. It would have been the pits top job.
It would have been like, who needs to make a dime?
Yeah.
While everyone's making like a buck?
Yeah.
Go down, maybe, I don't know if a dime's a buck. But
whatever, you know, everybody knows what you mean.
And someone's just gone down and, yeah, I'm going to do it. Whereas nowadays, it's like people make really good money doing the jobs that people never used to do.
100%.
But it still made me think, I even said to myself, like, and it doesn't take much for me to say, oh, if you pay me enough, I'll do something. Because if you pay me enough, I'll probably do most things.
Yeah. I think that's anyone's. That's how you lure people in.
But I don't know if you can lure me into this.
No, like there's levels of luring.
Like my, like.
By the way, that was probably the most disgusting 10 minutes of this podcast in the year.
Is it? Yeah, was it actually gross? Sorry, I hope we didn't turn people off. The quickest way to stop people from listening to a podcast. It was detailed and
informative, but nonetheless,
okay.
Pretty full on. But
okay, so we won't talk about the disgusting part anymore because we want our listeners to stay listening, especially during the segment called Podcast Foreplay. enjoy your night, guys. And it just made me wonder. I'm like, I don't know if you can pay me enough to do some jobs. And that might be one of the jobs where I'm like, I don't know if you could pay me to do that.
Yeah.
Because no, I'd probably bring up bank when I, you know, when I'm you, doing when the job you say anyway. That, disgusting.
Like the equivalent to that job for me would be pest controlling.
Okay, I'm glad you brought this stuff up. Because this is what I wanted. This is what I wanted to bring up in the podcast episode okay. today. So we don't come up with all these show note plans, but I kind of bounce this idea. I'm like, you know what I want to talk about? Jobs or people, situations that I don't envy, that we don't envy.
Keyword: don't envy.
Right. So I don't envy these sewer dudes who are the Fatberg dudes. These Fatberg destructors.
Because it's Ghostbusters or like Fatbusters, Bergbusters.
Fat,
and put like a nice little like 2000s tune to the
Fatberg Hunters or something.
Yeah, pest controlling. That's the first thing. Like, I'd probably
because of the bugs for you, right?
Spiders specifically. I can't do like cockroaches and stuff. I can look at them. I'm like, I get like not freaked out, but I don't panic. Like I panic when I see like a freaking huntsman or something like that. You know, I know they're harmless. Everyone's like, oh, it's harmless. They don't do anything. Like, I get it, but I'm not a spider person. So I'm like,
I wouldn't say they're
harmless.
They can cause harm, but yeah, they're just not going to eat you.
To your, like, yeah, PTSD harm. That's the kind
they're
of
just not going to eat you. Because I think people who have massive fear of spiders, do they like come out as being like a lot bigger and scarier than they are?
Nah, it's just they look creepy.
Okay.
So, like, with pest controllers, like, there's, like, you know, we have, like, we've got a guy that comes around, like, twice a year and he does the, you know, the full dealio. But, like, we both live in a fairly, I guess, modernized suburban type area. So, like, the level of pest controlling that they would have to do in a house like this isn't that full on. You know what I mean? They've got to put a bit of a mask on, go a bit of a spray, no big deal. I'm talking about, you know, the people that live in those kind of, like, like, you know, like a Queenslander. You know what a Queenslander is?
Yeah.
So, like, it's kind of like, for everybody knows, like, for our international tropical listeners, it's like there's like an underground area underneath. It's like almost like your house is on demountables in a sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The house is built on like a platform.
Almost. It's essentially a breeding ground for all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you call these guys up and say, look, dude, I'm having this problem. I don't know what's going on. You know, fill in the blanks. There's all these pests. So, you got to do essentially what Fatberg dudes could do.
And but under a house.
You got to put the full suit on and go underneath the house. Oh, man. That would be, I don't know. You'd have to start.
Okay, so I'll ask you.
You'd have to start throwing serious dough at me.
So I'll ask you this question.
Yeah.
Do you think the Fatberg job, and no offense to anyone who's a Fatberger. If you're a Fatberger, this is no offense to you.
No.
If you're getting banged, you're getting paid.
Anything, it's actually praise, really.
Oh, 100%. Like the thick skin, like credit to you guys. Yeah. Just for the love of God, go and wear a mask. My microbiology hat just went
Protect yourselves at all times.
My microbiology hat just went like wicked crazy with all the airborne shit that's in there. And I'm just wondering how y'all don't get sick. But anyway.
What was worse?
Would you say that Fatberg would be like possibly the high level of like a 10? Like that's a pretty not desirable situation to find yourself in?
It's up there. If we can rank, let's say 10 being like the most of disgusting, it's...
It'd be like a 7 or an 8.
No, I'd say it'd be like I think we've got to introduce decimal points here. Like I feel like it's a 9.6.
No, okay. If you had to scuba dive through that shit, because
they're doing it anyways.
Well, what happens if it was a real big blockage and like we can't get to this? We need the scuba diver fat burger.
But it's still the same level though. Like you might just turn up on Monday and it's not that bad, and then on Thursday you're fat burgering. So the level is
okay. Let's just say it's up there. It's real high, right?
It's 9 point something.
Would you say?
I'm gonna give it a 9.6.
Okay. Would you say pest control? What's pest control sit on that scale then?
If you're
for a non envious situation slash job.
Well, if you're a massive wuss like me when it comes to spiders, it's probably high nines as well. But if, like, you... I know you're not bothered by spiders.
It's not that I'm not bothered, but...
But it wouldn't... It wouldn't, like, if I could rank it for you, if I said, oh, what do you think Ivan would rank as worse? Knowing you, like, because of your microbiology background, you would not... You would rank the fat burger higher than the pest control.
100%. Right now, pest control is probably sitting, like, a 4 or a 5.
Wow, so really low for you.
Well, I'd be suited up, so it wouldn't bother me.
Even just all of them crawling over you and shit. What are they rats do? And all sorts of shit.
Like, what are they going to do though? You got a mask.
Nothing, but Fatberg's not going to do anything to you either. If you got the Ghostbusters suit on with proper masking and stuff, it's not going to do anything to you either.
Okay, put it this way. When you come out of a pest controlling situation, you're crawling under the house and you come out of the house. If you got bugs on you, you can flick them off and shake it.
Yeah.
And then you're clean.
Yeah, but if you come out of the sewer...
this guy in the sewer's like touching his head. He's like, oh, he's touching his helmet and he's got...
Okay, for starters...
He's got a smudge poo and he's like, as he's shoveling, it's flicking into his mouth. Look. Dude, you can't... You come out, you still stink.
Look,
You're like, oh, I need my shower. Still stink like your street.
Listen. Literally. I would probably make a complaint to HR and say, listen, you guys need to go to Bunnings and get myself like one of those proper like full-on two-phase... What are they called? You need a full-on mask,
they
right?
They need some HEPA filter-level masks.
So I would assume they'd work in like a trio, like one guy up on the street level, two guys down. So when the two guys crawl up from the sewer, you'd get hosed down. So at least you're not touching the crap, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's needed. I could probably come up with a really good solution. But
I think we've established...
I could probably come up with a really good solution that doesn't include putting people in... purple plastic bags, put it that way. wonder if anyone got that reference.
Look, I think we've established your high end. I think, yeah, you could fairly say...
Pest control is probably a 4 or 5.
For me, it's much higher. I'll give it an extra 5 points. I'd say it's like 9 something.
Okay.
Not as much as Fat Burger. But like we've probably established the high end, non-envious roles of the universe. All right. Yeah. It's funny you mentioned YouTube because every now and then, like I'll just kind of like I've got, you know, 15 minutes to just have a sandwich at work and I just got my computer in front of me and I just need a bit of like brain dead type stimulation.
Yeah.
And something that YouTube keeps feeding me is Gordon Ramsay Kitchen Nightmares. Because I remember it's very nostalgic for me because I remember like early days of me like starting off my career. There was a job that I used to do and I used to finish... not late, but reasonably late on a Tuesday night. And I used to come over to see your sister and you were there as well. And it became this like, because we've got the family Friday night dinner thing, but this like a Tuesday night became this like impromptu Tuesday night thing. And we would sit around and watch Gordon Ramsay Kitchen Nightmares. This was like, I don't know, say 2006, 7, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyways, somehow YouTube keeps feeding it to me. One of the jobs I don't envy is kitchen staff in like a busy restaurant. Chef, I feel like if you've got to a level of being a chef, you've gone through the mud. Like you've been a sous chef, you know, you've been like an assistant to like a head chef and you've been to culinary school, you've been taught all this stuff, and now when you're a head chef, you're pretty much directing traffic. I'm talking like wait staff, like guys that are just, you know, maybe on the area where they prepare, you know, like the plates or something, like anything to do with back kitchen, I feel like that is a super stressful gig.
Mm.
Like, and I know it's like some people have different levels of stress that they like to manage and then they think it's okay. But I would find working in a busy restaurant in the kitchen would be high-end stress.
You know, it's funny. I was speaking to someone about this a couple of weeks ago. We're kind of sitting around the dinner table and people were talking about their past jobs and remember that time.
Mm.
And they were talking about when they became a... They were going into culinary school or trying to be a chef and they went to like this... I don't even know the names. I'm not even going to try and quote names. But it was basically... It might have even been like a Michelin kind of level restaurant.
Mm.
And... You know, they were shucking oysters and doing all this, you know, doing that kind of stuff.
All the prep stuff.
Fish prep, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And did it for like a few months and then was just like, nope, throwing in the towel, I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
It was just not for them.
Yeah.
And they were saying the same thing, like the amount of pressure.
Yeah, that's probably the amount of things
that get thrown around the kitchen, like literally picked up and thrown.
Yeah.
It's
like high-end volatility.
Which I wouldn't have... I don't know. I wouldn't have... Because when it comes out, like you're sitting there in the restaurant, it's like, all you can hear is... You're like full calm.
Yeah, calm.
Your steak comes out, you slice, it's juicy. Everyone's sitting there with their noses up. Oh, this is delicious. Oh.
Meanwhile in the back is
like, yeah, fuck. Like blowing it. And then it's like, can I speak to the chef? The chef comes out. Good evening, sir. It's like you know when you're like having a mad ass
classic bipolar.
You're having a mad ass argument or something, or you're like, he's got this outburst, you're in a state of rage at home, and then I was like, ah, ah, and then the phone rings, you're like, hello.
Hello, Ribera residence. How can I help you?
It's like, hello, yes, not interested. Thank you, bye. Right away. And you just keep going. The kitchen seems like it'll be there. As soon as you walk through the doors,
yeah.
It's like peace.
It's peace.
I don't understand. I mean, I've never been in a kitchen.
I think you said it best. It's not stress. It's pressure. I think there's just so much pressure. And there's the level of experience within a space of, let's just say the average kitchen is 10, 15 square meters.
Yeah.
Right? You got on one end, this high end, like super trained Gordon Ramsay-esque style chef.
Yeah.
And then you're a dude that, you know, scoops the mussels.
And then there's everyone in between.
So, like, if this guy wants to shout at you, he's going to shout at you because his reputation... It may not even be his restaurant because he's obviously, you know, getting paid by the owner or whatever. But still, the food that is coming out is resemblance of him. So,
yeah.
He needs to make sure that everything that goes out is what he wants. And if you're just fucking up the line somehow, you're too slow, you're not doing it right, you're not cooking things properly, not preparing, whatever it is that you're, what station you are in there.
Yeah.
I would feel like shit. Like that's pretty high pressure stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's for me. I don't know what I'd rank that, but I don't envy that gig.
I agree. Look, I mean, I wouldn't want to be, being a chef's not my forte.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I beg to differ, Ramsey.
Why?
It's funny. The reason why I have this conversation is because a lot of...
Because we tend to send each other
steak messages and stuff like that. We're like, compare our steaks and stuff. So, it's like, it would be cool. Like, I think everybody romanticizes the idea of being, not a chef, but someone that prepares food. Because, like, that's pretty cool. If you were to, like, prepare a meal of some sort and then bring it out and everyone's like, wow, that's amazing. Like... Your head is growing tenfold. Like it's an ego boosting industry.
Yeah.
All right. Like the fact that you can make this artwork that's edible.
Yeah.
On a plate, and then someone enjoys it and pays you for it.
100%. Yeah. There's a massive level of like.
There's massive upside to it.
Yeah, there is a significance. You feel real good doing it.
But then I go back to watching Gordon Ramsay Kitchen Nightmares, and I'm like, some dude's gonna yell at me, and I just can't handle that shit. Yeah, that would be one for me. Something that I don't envy. That'd be one of them.
This is a kind of off topic.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get in a rabbit hole, but it's just one of these things that I find funny is when something's like someone's eating some food and it's like maybe like a 2 or 3 ingredient dish.
Okay, so basic.
Basic.
Yeah.
And you know it's basic.
Yeah.
Right? You're eating, and it's not bad. It's just, you know, it's basic.
Basic. Because sometimes basic meals are good.
No, I know, but I'm talking like 2 or 3 ingredients, or it's like something super simple.
Yeah.
It's like someone's got like, say for example, plain pasta.
Yeah.
They drizzle olive oil on it and like throw in some herbs.
Yeah.
not that does bad, but say that's the example.
Yeah.
Someone's eating it and they're like, oh my God, this is the this is just delicious. Like, what a fan. Oh, this. And they're just going on and on. And you're like,
do you think they're overplaying it a bit?
I don't know. Either their taste buds are super bland and they've been deprived of salt growing up.
Yeah.
Or they're over exaggerating it. But oh, you're eating it and you're like,
TV no times. Salt. TV times. They're always going to over exaggerate it. I feel like.
I don't know why I bought that up. I just find it interesting when people.
Sometimes it's warranted. The whole, oh my God, this is amazing. Because sometimes simple dishes can be like, wow, it's so simple, but they've added so many layers to it.
No, of course. Like if the olive oil's been like pressed, you know, if the olives have been like pressed squeezed, 20, pressed
27 years.
By the feet of the gods, and it's been pushed through like a mad sieve, and it's like cold pressed in like the snowy Alps somewhere, and it's like some really great olive oil. I get it.
Yeah.
But if someone just like thrown something in, and you're like someone on the table's exaggerating it, I wonder. And this is not to be dicky, but I almost wonder. It's like, what do you eat every day? Do you never eat salt?
Yeah.
Because I know people that don't ever put salt in their food at all.
Because they want to taste the flavors of
Yeah, but salt's food. Flavor.
No, salt is an enhancer. It's not flavor.
Okay, coming from a European background, salt is flavor.
No, salt itself is a flavor, but it's not flavor. It's not like a rich tomato sauce in a bolognese.
No, I understand
It's that. Not a Dijon mustard over a steak.
I get it. Just go with me now.
You know, for me, it's funny that because like, you know, the classic one is like, you know, Gordon Ramsay comes into the restaurant, introduces himself, and he's like, hi, my darling. I'll try the scallops. You know, he orders like fucking like three entrees, four mains. And it's like, dude, seriously. And then he just sits there and he goes, eats it. And he just goes, disappointing, bland, mushy. And then the classic one, after you watch so many clips, it's like, he goes, my darling, are the calamari fresh? She's like, it's frozen. Mm. The owner told me it was fresh. Not only is the restaurant owner a bad chef, he's also a liar. Two bad combinations. And he just starts tearing you down. And then after he's finished eating your food, he goes back and confronts you in your kitchen. So it's like someone coming into your house and then like you're holding your baby on your shoulder and you go, that's one ugly baby.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, what do you say it's to like, that?
Show oh, thanks, let me where improve the calamari it. Like- came from. And he goes into the fridge, pulls out this tray full of water.
Oh, it's the
Is
worst.
This the fucking calamari I just ate? Are you trying to fucking kill me?
Yeah. He goes, why is the chicken tender so slimy? And he just goes on his rant. It's just fucking. He goes, let me look at the fridge. He goes, listen, you. And he's, you know, like yells out all this profanity. He's like, cooked food, fresh food. Why are they in the same fucking container? And he's just like losing his shit. And it's just like, it's entertaining, but you're watching these people.
Their souls being torn out.
Being demoralized. Not only just in their, like, in their domain.
Yeah.
Where like, they are the bosses and they're paying all these people. And then some dude just comes in and just slams everything that you're about. It's like I said, it's like someone knocking on your door and, like, you got your baby on your shoulder and they just say you've got an ugly baby. Like, what do you say about that?
I wonder how these people get signed up for this. Do they put their names down? Or does someone volunteer them? Or does the show go around and look at, like, web reviews and then contacts them and says, we've got a show. We think you'd be a good candidate. Would you be interested? We'll pay you.
Maybe a bit of both. I don't know. But yeah, that was, me and Gordon Ramsay, I like those shows. But every time I watch that show, I'm like, yeah, being a chef or a sous chef or even waiters, that's, you know what? Serving, like the middleman.
Yeah.
Let's talk, if we're on the topic of, jobs I don't envy. And I know there's a different types of middleman jobs. But middlemen are essentially the conveyor of a message, one to another. And a lot of the times they have to convey
this
a
This episode
really...
is going to offend some people.
Hey?
This episode might offend some people who hold certain
I'm
jobs.
Just, I'm saying I don't envy. I'm saying you probably love your job.
Yeah.
But me personally, the idea of me going, okay, so Ivan, so have you got your report for Mr. Such and Such? And you go to me, you know what, Daniel? You could tell Mr. Such and Such that he's a big dickhead. I hate him. You tell him, give him this report and tell him to shove it up his ass. You're like, okay, thanks, man.
And you're the
kid. And you go, oh, hi, Mr. Frederick. Ivan says, He's you're not- a big dickhead, and he wants you to shove this piece of paper I have in my hand up your ass. Well, you know what? You tell him. It's like, for fuck's sake, can't you guys convey your message to each other? Like, why am I like the middleman? There's so many different types of middlemen, and I feel like the waiter in a restaurant is the middleman.
Okay.
It's like, because, you know, all they're doing is serving. Yeah. They're taking your orders down. They come back and go, how was your steak? Oh, it's like completely rare. It's actually shit. Can you take it back? You're like, sure, I will. Go back to the chef. Oh, the patron says it's undercooked. You tell that patron to shut the fuck up. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You'll be like, well, I can't really go out there and say that, but can you make another steak because he thinks it's undercooked? And no, I'm not making another one. You tell him you can order something else. You're like, okay. So the chef says, you have to order, like, it's just the worst.
Yeah.
That would be the worst. Conveying a message that's not your own, essentially, the don't shoot the messenger. Everyone shoots the messenger. Everybody shoots the messenger. Yeah. You don't want to be the messenger.
I can kind of relate to that. I think that's a fair one that I wouldn't envy. I'd probably put that.
That's a six for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to say two.
I don't envy that job at all.
Man.
I've always just been in a job where this is going to sound dicky, but I've always just been in like my own like domain. I've never had to really answer to anyone.
Okay.
Not always, but like not like the middleman. Like there's no middleman per se.
That's funny that you kind of mentioned that, because I was brushing my teeth this morning and I was remembering back to some jobs and stuff I've held and times where I've had to stand in front of a boardroom and say to the boardroom, you're not allowed to do what you want to do.
That's a tough job. That's tough.
And because they're all sitting there, they're like, we want to do this. And and when they say we want to do this, it's like, make it happen. Like, we need it done. So,
we believe
you need to work out a way that you can communicate the message that it can be done, even though we kind of know it can't, but you need to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And you, so standing in a room and you're kind of like, we can't do it. And being the person there. And I was thinking, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I kind of... Whenever I found myself in situations before where someone's got to deliver a message and they're like, so who's going to tell them? And the room goes quiet.
Yeah, because nobody wants to be the messenger.
No one wants to be the middleman. Exactly. And I've just gone like, fuck it, I'll do it. I literally put my hand up because for some reason...
When someone does that, go... Da, da, da. Like,
we salute you, hero.
You're a good man, Ivan. We'll see you on the other side.
But at the same time,
that guy's
time,
got more balls and brains.
Listen, man, it's rubbish. It's bullshit. It's not more balls and brains. I'll tell you why. Because as soon as you come out of that room, the amount of respect you've earned, and everyone just like, we trust you.
The thing is, you're assuming you're coming back from the boardroom, though. Sometimes you don't come back.
I know. If you walk in one door and you go out the other, it means you're not coming back.
That's what I mean.
It's like, you go back to it. No, walk out the other door.
I'm going to find. No. You go that door there and you go to HR and give him your stuff.
But if you come out the door you originally worked on instead of the other side of the boardroom door, the team instantly looks at you and they're just like, we envy you.
Yeah.
You are our lord. you are our leader.
I guess, gracious leader. I guess in a sense, it's like.
It builds instant trust.
Anything that's high end, high risk, either has, you know, great catastrophic consequences, or it's like you said, you've made it out alive. Like, that was super courageous. Now you're like high end.
Yeah.
So this is like this. The scale of risk is that there's very little middle. there's a lot of fall or a lot of praise, one or the other.
And for those who want a little golden nugget, what you want to do is you want to be the person who, when you walk into the boardroom. And then you walk in that one door and then the board people are like, oh, they sent that person. When the board fears you walking in.
You know when you're on the board and you know who's in the back there, and in the back of your mind you're thinking, oh, please, Ivan, I know, don't suggest yourself. And door opens, you're like, fuck, it's him. Why is he doing it for? It's like, I know he's going to get annihilated.
Oh, why'd they choose that person to say no? Then you know you're in an alright spot.
That poor sacrificial soul. Yeah, middleman.
I was trying to say, as in the boardroom fears you walking in when you're the middleman.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Nah. If you're part of the boardroom, everyone in the boardroom is on the same page.
No, when you open the door and they know you're already going to say no when the door's opened.
Well, they feel sorry for you, but they're not like.
Well, someone's just reaching over and opening the other door as you start talking. We'll fix this fucker right up.
Sit down, my friend. Tell me what bullshit answer you're going to give me today. And they've got this like really demeaning look on their face, like, like, there's nothing you're saying right now that's appealing to me.
It's like, I understand what you're saying and I respect that, but how can we make this happen? How can we make it work? Anyway, yeah, no, look, I can relate to that.
So are you seriously going to stick to the middleman or the message conveyor?
As a two?
Yeah, still?
For me, it's a two.
Okay.
I'd say it's a two.
Okay.
It's not as bad as like swimming through iceberg shit. no, one thing, okay, we'll flip it around. This all is right. Going to sound very, this might, and for the traditionalists out there, they don't like the traditional strong man image. Mm. I don't envy those 35 plus degree days when you go to deliver your car to get a pink slip or go and get work done on your car and you've got the mechanics there covered in grease.
Yeah, that's hard.
Working in a mechanics workshop on like a 35 degree day. I know I instantly stopped being a man then, but I cannot.
You handed in your man license.
I handed in my...
You lost your demerit points in being a man.
I just lost 13 demerit points in my man license. So for all you mechanics out there, you're a real man. I don't know how yous do it in 35 degree days, covered in grease, working on the cars.
That's hard. Look, it's hard. I've got quite a few mechanics that come and see me.
You deserve every dollar for
that.
And
they're a different breed. They are so in love with cars.
The first thing that came to mind was you have to love.
Yeah, they're so in love with cars and just, especially if they get a car that comes in and it's like, you know, super done up or it's just this fabulous machine. The 35 degree heat, the warehouse fan not working, the elbow grease deep, sweaty, that all just goes out the window. Like all of a sudden, they're like, "Oh wow, I get to work on this car."
Yeah.
So that's them. I'm not sure how the first, second, and third year apprentices feel. Maybe they're questioning their life decision.
Yeah.
when someone's like, well, "Can you go like their grease trap?" You're like, "What? But why? I just got here. Like that's what you're supposed to do. You're a first year apprentice."
Exactly. I guess it's like the kitchen again. It's like you get different people who do the different tasks, but.
Okay, maybe we should redefine that, which most people you got no choice but to do it anyways. Maybe we envy being raw and green, like being the newbie. Everyone envies being the newbie. Yeah, everyone has to be a newbie at some stage.
Everyone envies not being the newbie, you mean?
Yeah, not being so not okay, being yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I mean. But some workshops I know, because I've taken, you know, it's like one place I went to deliver a car to get fixed. Some of these workshops are very clean. As in, like, the floors are, like, polished concrete, nice paint, air con. When they're working on the car, they put, like, a felt little rug over the edge of the bonnet and they're wearing gloves and they work.
You're talking about, like, your corner street mechanic.
I mean, like, you've gone in, like, the back streets to go and get a pink slip.
Yeah.
And you walked up to, like, an orange brick warehouse.
Yeah.
And it's, like, rugged, hardcore
engine
working. Like, as you walk in, it just smells like castor oil. It's like engine oil.
That's right.
I don't understand. I don't envy that.
Yeah.
I respect their trade.
What's your rank?
I would rate that on scale of jobs, probably a 6.5.
Yeah. mine's a bit low. I'd probably give that like a 3-4. Yeah. It's up there though.
See, so, I don't like things where they make contact with my skin. I remember once it was like a 35 degree day.
Okay, I've got a job for you.
Okay. I remember once it was like a 35 degree day and I installed insulation inside my roof.
Oh, like roof bats.
The pink bat pink like bats, roof yeah. bat insulation things, those thick glassy pads.
That's a sauna up there, man.
And it was I took a thermometer up there and it was like 48 maybe plus 52. I don't know, it was like hot, man, up in that roof.
Yeah.
And I was wearing my suit. I had my mask on. But those fibers, when they start to crumple off the bat.
And they get stuck on your arm hairs.
And they go all over your arm hairs. You take your suit off and you're sweaty.
Yeah.
And you've got tiny shards of glass, cottony fibers all over your skin. And you get these red dots like hives all over you. It's uncomfortable. It's like going for a run on a 42 degree day. Rolling in the sand and then putting one of those jumpers on that you used to wear when you were a kid at school, the woolen ones, and then jumping back on the treadmill for another run. It's that level of feel. Forget, like, you know, tortury stuff. You can do whatever you want to me. But if you rolled me in sand after a run and put me in one of those woolly jumpers, I'd rather be waterboarded.
He's so extreme.
I'm telling you. No joke.
All right. I'm going to give you a job, which most people would be like, oh, yeah, what's wrong with that? But I know you'd probably be like, not sure. A lifeguard on the beach.
It's funny you mentioned that.
Okay.
Because as we were talking about sand, I was thinking lifeguards.
Yeah. Well, that's funny. I knew you were going to mention that, but yeah.
As long as I don't have to,
again,
like...
Again, it's not an envious... Like, some people just love being at the beach.
As long as after I put my sunscreen on, I don't have to run in the sand and get sand on me.
Did you? That's you? What are you talking about?
And I can kind of like sit in the hut with the binoculars and look at people and say...
And they go, oh, shit, that guy's drowning. Hey, Gary, can you go and get that guy out?
Exactly. Exactly. I want to be like the head lifeguard.
The guy doesn't swim
or
out.
Or the person who rides around in that mad four-wheel buggy thing and just like rides the beach.
That would be high. That kind of job, you'd go days where it's like, yeah, it's a pretty crazy day. And then all of a sudden, like, some pretty serious stuff can happen. People just, like, you know, drown. You got to bring him out onto the shore, perform CPR. I'm also talking about the everyday stuff where, like, you're a lifeguard. It's middle of summer.
That'd be actually a good job.
The dealing with the people.
If you're getting paid, I don't know how much these guys, I don't know how, I'm curious how
some
much.
Some of them are volunteers.
No, I mean like on the books lifeguard, paid.
Oh, I don't know.
By, what is it, the council.
It's a council job.
I don't know how much they get paid, but if it's middle of summer and you're getting, and your job is to be on the beach, I know there's other tasks. They've got paperwork,
there's a lot of
things
stuff
to do. Surveying, you know, whatever it is they got to do on the beach. I get all their tasks, whatever they have to do.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say I disenvy that job. If you love the beach and you love the outdoors and the sand and being in the sun,
probably the perfect job.
I mean, it's a dream.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. You know, if that's what you love doing,
yeah.
I actually envy them if they actually love their job.
Yeah,
because you're out there on the sand. To me, that's like a one.
For me, like, providing I'm a lifeguard, I'm assuming I'm obviously a good swimmer and, you know, strong swimmer, and, you know, I'm competent at, you know, doing, not that I would ever want to do it, but like things like, you know, CPR and, you know, providing first aid, that's probably the easiest part of the job. I reckon for me in that job would be dealing with the people, especially if you're on a really big popular beach.
Yeah.
Just people are stupid. Like, dealing with humans when when they're like, I'm going to sound anti-human here, but I should probably fly to Mars.
When they can't swim.
That's the dumbest level of stupid. Like, if you don't know how to swim, what are you doing outside of the flags? That's just dumb.
Yeah.
Okay. That's I'm talking about the, you know, just people, you know, like the amount of, like, it's getting a little bit serious, but the amount of people that you see, you know, what's that thing called when they're fishing on the rocks?
Spear fishing,
rock fishing or whatever it's called. And then, and then, like, at any point in time, the swell can change and take you out.
Yeah.
It is the job of the lifeguards to constantly go there and go, guys, like, pull it back a bit.
Mm.
Because, yeah, like, essentially, if you still keep saying that, my sorry ass is to come in and dive into this, like, crazy ass waters with all these rocks and save your ass. Yep. Get back. Stop being a dick. I know you want your fish. But, like, fish at a safer distance.
Yeah.
You constantly have to be repeating yourself to the stupidity of people. That would be high for me. Like, to constantly repeat myself.
Yeah.
And stop stupid behavior repeatedly. That, for me, is, like, getting up there on the scale.
Yeah, I can appreciate that one, too. I mean, it kind of casts my mind back. I remember as a kid, there was this one scene. I never forget this one scene. And I was sitting on the edge of the rocks.
Mm.
There was a few people that were under the water spear fishing.
Mm.
And I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting on the rocks and they dive off they basically had a spear gun, flippers, and a goggles.
Mm-hmm.
They would dive down and I was sitting on the rocks playing with a lighter. I know, just a lighter left there.
Yeah.
You know, I was just playing with it on the rocks. I was probably like six.
Yeah.
And the waves are crashing on the edge of these rocks and all this stuff.
Yeah.
They all go down and I'm just like watching and the water's like this murky, dark, deep color.
Mm.
They're swimming and they pop up after a few minutes. And I'm just like sitting there as a kid watching. At any one point in time, a wave could have come. They would have come up and no, there would be no kid there.
Oh, gone.
And I think that speaks to the...
Because the swirl just changes at any point in time.
It does. I don't know why I'm bringing that up. It was a story that I remembered from when you were saying that. But I don't know, man. Back in the early 90s, it was just like more carefree.
Yeah, it was. But like, I'm also talking about me if I'm the lifeguard and I get told by my superior, can you go up there to the north end tell those guys to pull it back a little bit? It's annoying. It's very annoying. Because you're that guy that always has to... Again, middleman, you're conveying the message again. So, you're telling them to stop having fun.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm trying to save your life and then I'm trying to save my own life too.
Yeah.
Because the swirl comes in, I'm going to get sent out as the middleman again to come and save you again. I just thought of another one. Switching different gears. This is a classic. And I'd probably rate this fairly high. Maybe a 7 or an 8.
Yeah.
Parking inspector. The guy that comes and draws a chalk cross on your tire.
Yeah.
And in 1 hour zone comes back 1 hour and 3 minutes later to give you a ticket.
Yeah.
That guy. Or that girl. Whatever.
I knew a parking inspector once.
Did you?
You know they do get bonuses.
Of course they do. They have to. How else are they supposed
to... Some people throw it around like it's a conspiracy. It's like, you're just trying to make your quota. And people are like, they don't have a quota.
They've got a quota. You think about it. If you don't give them a quota, they're not going to hand out tickets.
I know.
It's very simple. But
I did. I knew a parking inspector.
Wow.
And tell me more. she loved it, man.
Okay. Really?
She said it was a good job. And, there's certainly a quota. And I was like, so do you, and I asked the question, like everyone's on everyone's mind, do you ever come across people that like, you know,
all the time
get annoyed? And they're like, yeah, you do.
And then what do you do then?
And just, I don't know, you just got to like de-escalate it. Oh, look, how it's just my job, fight it in court, blah, blah, blah.
What a shit gig.
But yeah, man, there's some brave soldiers on the street, parking.
If we're talking about levels of thick skin. Like we revert back to Fatburger. That's again a level of thick skin plus, you know, the Ghostbusters suit on, right? Like a parking inspector will have to have thick skin because the abuse you would get.
What level did you say this was at?
That's probably a 7 or an 8.
That's pretty high, man.
Man, like it's a
that's like one step down from Fatburg.
No, Fatburg's like high 9s.
Okay, 2 steps down from Fatburg. That's still a reasonable close step behind.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's...
You don't like confrontation, do you?
No. Okay. In case anybody hasn't discovered that yet, I don't like confrontation.
Okay, I don't like germs. You don't like
confrontation. Because I know what I'm like with confrontation. I avoid it to the heels.
Yeah.
But the moment someone backs me against the wall, I have all the ammunition to destroy you. And people have no idea where it comes from. And I lose friends because... I just don't like it. I don't like it. And it's just like...
It's like you don't like it that much. You want to get out of it real quick. So you deploy everything.
Yeah, it's like you're poking the bear. I know I'm fluffy and kind, but I'm going to destroy you now. Just stop. And then boom, I explode. And I don't like that part of me personally.
Yeah.
So it's like the parking inspector. It's like imagine you're like writing a 7th ticket for the day. And some guy goes... Oh, for fuck's sake, Michael, what are you going to do about it? I'd lose my shit. The guy would be like, okay, shit, man, I'll pay the $80. Fuck, get away from me, you freaking weirdo. Yeah. I'm afraid of myself, more so.
Yeah. It kind of sparks some curiosity. Like, how would you approach being a parking inspector?
Yeah.
And the thing that comes to mind is maybe it's good to walk the streets and just go on the hunt for ultimate douchebaggery. And issue as many tickets to the
this goes back to our dick move episode. That's a dick move.
Yes. So someone should follow dick move episode. Go and issue as many tickets as you can to the douchebags of the day on the street.
Yeah.
Reach your quota and then convince yourself that you're doing a good deed by letting everybody else off. So that when I'm over the thing, you know you've achieved your quota and you just turn and go, you know what? I'll let you off this once and let them off.
Yeah.
And then you've done your good deed because you're feeling like you've done the good things.
Yeah, that's
true.
But
it's at the absolute expense of all the douchebags before you that got issued the ticket.
It's funny you say that though.
I think that's a good way of approaching.
You know what? You're probably right. Because there's probably a high end of that. Because like outside my clinic, I've got a clearway zone and it's between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. So the majority of the day, everyone can park outside the clinic. And then in between that time, they've got to just go around the corner. There's like a little park there where most people park. And, you know, like my, it's always happens with my 2 o'clock client, you know, my 2 or 2:30 client. I always ask them, I said, did you park? Like, if I don't remember to ask them at the start of the session, I'll ask them halfway through and be like, you didn't park in the clearway, did you? And they're like, yeah, I did. Like, did you say clearway? I'm like, yeah, man, it's a clearway. They're like, oh, shit. And it's happened so many times. It's just like, you feel bad. I'm like, they run out there and they see their car going, going up like the...
Oh, they actually tow it?
Yeah, they tow it.
Oh, wow. Because now, like,
on the Princess Highway, they do not joke
around.
There's
no mucking around.
There's no mucking around. Wow. Because there's, like, there's parking inspectors, there's tow truck drive. And literally, it's like, it's a... we used to... It's not as bad as much these days. But early days of the clinic, we used to say that part was like shark infested waters. Like, cause no joke, tow truck drivers would go drive up and do a U-turn and come back up the other side of the highway. And they like would circle. They would.
And it's a permanent tow. You just hire by like.
Yeah, they're circling the area.
And actually tow them. On yeah, the spot. Man. Wow.
They tow them. They're not as much these days, right? And they'd sit there and they're just like sharks, like circling a dinghy, waiting for this person to be like 301, snap, taking your car, right? If it's not them, it's police. Because police, if police are driving down the highway and they see the car, they park right in front of you, they take a quick snapshot and then they're gone. You've been balked in under 10 seconds.
Wow.
And you get into your car, oh, cool, I haven't got a ticket. Next minute, 2 days later in the mail, there's your ticket. If it's not them, then it's the parking inspector. So I've witnessed this one time, I got out there, I'm like, did you park outside? He's like, oh, yeah. So we ran outside and the parking inspector was like about to ride it, and he's like, and he's obviously gone, this your car? And he's like, yeah, yeah, please. And he's gone. You could tell he's sitting there thinking. And he's probably thought, I've reached my quota for the day. And he goes, he gives him the whole like, go off, mate. You're all right. Go for it. And like the amount of praise that parking inspector got from my client, he practically would have said, look, I'll kiss your feet. Pretty much. That's essentially how much praise they got. So I'm like thinking, haven't you done a good deed for the day doing your job?
Wow. I'd hate to go out and see my car getting towed like that. There was this one time.
Because your handbrake's pulled, right? And when the thing is sliding your car up, it's going like your car is like skidding along this like their tow plank thing, whatever it is, right? And that noise is like, think that's your car, champ.
I remember one time talking about parking tickets. I got a parking ticket for parking in a spot. And I was in genuine, you know, when you get a parking ticket, usually the first thing that comes to mind is, I was hoping I wasn't going to get caught. Because you know you shouldn't park there. But you kind of go, I'll just pull a quickie. I'm going to go leave the car there for a sec. Hopefully no one's going to book me a ticket and you don't get a ticket. But there was one time I parked and I vividly remember taking the photo of the sign next to the car. Because I'm like, by all accounts, I've read this sign and I strongly believe I'm allowed to park here. So I'm going to take a photo in case I get a ticket.
Yeah.
I literally came back and I had a fucking ticket.
Mm.
And in Australia, particularly in Sydney, we're notorious for doing this.
Yeah.
We will have a street sign and usually it's simple. They'll say like no standing or no stopping. And then it'll say parking parkway, like parking zone, and have like a 1P mean you can park there for 1 hour. And it's got arrows either side, or it'll tell you a time zone. This thing had this. It was like one sign that had like clearway, no parking on the top. Then it had another sign, metal one, bolted to that said 1 hour P, a time zone. And then it had another sign attached to it next to it that said no parking. Or except no stopping, whatever.
For these days or something.
Then it had another... I kid you not, there was about four signs attached
on
like
one pole.
A 60 by 60 centimeters thing on this pole. Of all these... And I was like... It's like reading a sign where it's like, you got to follow a flow chart. Can you park at this time? No. Move to the next sign. Can you this? No. Nope. Go back to the first. Can you? And I went round and round in circles and I eventually got to the spot where I'm like, I'm pretty sure I can park here. So I parked.
Yeah.
Got a fucking ticket.
What was the infringement?
No parking.
Yeah, I know, but like, was it because you were out of zone or was it like...
I don't even think the person knew. They just literally walked past and was like, yep, this is my time zone.
Parking inspector looks at the sign and goes, like, I can't even interpret hard. That. You're fuck it, you're getting a ticket.
And they just wrote me a ticket.
Yeah.
So, I think parking inspectors...
That'd be high.
I'd say it's a 5 or a 6.
Yeah, it's fair.
I say it's a 5 or a 6. I probably would not. I wouldn't want to envy it, but to me, it's like you got to deal with the bad people. But then usually, if the towie comes and they're going to take your car off the road, they're usually like some tough looking guys. So when they take your car, you're just like, I'm not saying anything, just take the car.
Yeah.
I've never had my car towed, touch wood. But anyway.
No, neither have I.
You know, back in the day when you're at school, when you're like a teen, early 20s, and you go like clubbing and stuff, like to the, like, you know, to a nightclub, dance club kind of thing.
Mm.
And then you have to go to the bathroom. And every time I knew I had to go to the restroom, I never wanted to go in there because
You got a bit of a fear of public toilets.
I got a fear of like nightclub public toilets because those okay. things are gross.
Yeah.
And I always wonder how the scotch glass ends up on the bathroom floor because it would have meant that someone in their drunken state had to walk into the bathroom
with a drink,
drinking their glass.
Yeah.
Issue number one.
Yeah.
Go in there and sit down, i.e. they've had to take the time. So therefore, because they're got to kind of spend a few minutes in there, they've got to put the cup down on the floor, which means they're actually choosing to sit on the toilet in a place like that.
Mm.
Then at the end of the night, the place is so vile.
Yeah.
I always wondered who fixes this room at 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I don't envy that job. Whoever has to clean that room.
You know what? I don't envy them. I praise those people.
I'm
not saying that even like, I'm not like, oh, what a dick.
It's another thick skin
thing. Honestly, that is like, that's hard work. It's not hard work. It's just like thick skin work.
Like, how do you even begin? Where do you even start wiping?
I was just getting it with a freaking gurney.
That's the only way you could do it.
Yeah.
They should, you know what would be the best solution?
What?
And often I've thought about this. I do this weird visualization thing when I walk into a restroom. I'm like, if I see a place that's like tiled from floor to ceiling, and everything's like white porcelain or it's all concrete.
Mm.
Like, you know, the restrooms at the beaches where it's just all concrete. It's like stainless steel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always like, geez, the best way to clean this and the only way to clean this is to suit up, get a gurney
and just
with like chlorine in it.
Yeah.
And just like the whole room.
And just let it drip dry.
And just let it drip dry. It's the only way to clean places like that. It's like
strong ass bleach smell when you walk past. Like, damn, what's in that space?
That is the only way. And I'm like, that's the only way you should clean.
That's probably how they do it anyways.
Not in a place like that.
No. I'm just saying, but they've got their own version.
Yeah, but I think that'd be the only way. So I don't envy. I respect, but I don't envy because I'm like, I could not do that.
Yeah.
You know, that to me, that's something that's too hard. I don't envy it.
Like, switching gears a little bit, I think I was watching that one of those Fox Sports shows, like Deep Catch. Have you seen them? Where there's guys go out and like...
Deep sea fishermen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is... I can't even speak on the danger.
I'd say that's like a 7 or an 8.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, I'm thinking if you could choose between fat burger or being out in the middle of some crazy ass ocean with these like 10 meter waves and you're constantly wet. Okay. Like feeling wet your whole shift, that would feel horrible. Out in the middle of the ocean.
I'm more thinking the seasickness, man.
Oh, that too. But you wouldn't do that if you weren't the type. There are some people that just don't get seasick. They just know how to navigate through that. So removing the seasickness aside, just the pure danger. And like, I'm sure a lot of these guys are thrill seekers too. It's not just, you're not your average Joe's doing that job. But like, those guys get paid serious dollars.
I think
like, I don't know how much per kilo or per ton or whatever it is that they catch, and then everybody gets distributed, you know, like a share or whatever. I'm not sure how they distribute the funds, but it's pretty full on. But you see some of this footage and you're like, sometimes the boats are about to hit a wave. Bang. Hits a wave and no joke, the boat, after they've gone up the wave, they're almost completely vertical.
Yeah.
These guys are like flying backwards, like Titanic style, into the kadoosh, into a freaking like wall, and then kadoosh, the boat goes back to horizontal. And this thing is like relentless for hours. Yeah, like the mental strain would be stupid. absolutely stupid.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that either. Anything out in like the ocean for months and months at a time is not, it's not something I'd be super interested in.
A lot of these guys,
are,
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just the way they've collected the footage, but a lot of the time it's like in the dark as
Would
well.
You rather be stuck in the ocean or stuck in the desert?
As in, stuck in the ocean as in like on like a raft or like a boat or...
Well, say for example, you... Okay, picture this.
Okay.
Navy or like army commando
being in the
desert?
Navy or being in the army? I'd rather be in the army.
No, no. Navy or army meaning out at sea or deep, like in a mission in the desert. Mission at sea or mission in desert?
Well, me personally, I'm probably more comfortable on my feet.
Yeah.
Therefore, I would be like... doing that. I feel like if you're on a mission on a boat,
yeah,
your life is subject to that boat.
Yeah.
So you could be doing everything right and someone hits a sweet ass missile to your boat, whether you're doing everything right, you're going down.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're on a mission with say a platoon of some sort, I would say that you still have a responsibility for everybody else as well, but like you've got probably more chance of survival, I think.
Maybe.
There are some probably...
What about surviving?
There's probably some army personnel listening to this thinking, what a douche. You know, you got completely no idea. Wrong.
That's but probably what we're
I'd probably rather not be on the boat.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But if you're asking, stuck on like a decent kind of boat, I don't know what the terminology is. Maybe I've lost my anchor or run out of petrol or something. I'm waiting for someone to find me. Or stuck in the desert waiting for someone to find me?
Braving the elements. Think about it like that. You got to brave the sea elements or brave the desert elements.
Probably the sea elements.
So you'd rather be at sea?
Probably.
I'm going the desert.
Going desert?
Yeah.
The desert's sparse, man. The desert, you're probably using more energy. More energy consumption on the desert. You wouldn't stay still. You'd have to walk somewhere.
Yeah, but at least I can walk and I don't feel dizzy when I walk.
You don't feel dizzy? I'd rather just...
This is the thing. I hate summer. This is gonna throw you off a bit.
Okay.
I hate summer.
Yeah.
I love winter.
But you'd rather be in a sandy desert.
I would rather be... And even though I hate being rolled in sand with a woolen jumper and that's torture.
Yeah.
If I was like dressed up in camo and I was on a mission... I'd rather be on a mission walking through a hot desert, feeling hot and sweaty.
Yeah. We're talking stranded, though. We're talking stranded. You've been stranded. Like, boom. Someone's dropped you out in the middle of the desert. You got, like, bare essentials. Same thing with the ocean.
You're still the desert.
Okay.
I'd say still desert because if you're in the ocean and you're stranded and you've got no shelter, you're right in the middle of the sun all day. If you're in the desert and you're stranded, I know you're in the sun all day, but there's still mechanisms for like digging a hole to get shade and stuff.
I guess.
Do you know what I mean? You can still kind of...
Don't envy any of those.
You can still...
They're both a 10.
Improvise something.
They're both a 10. I'd rather be in Fatburger than stuck in either of them.
Really?
Dude, if you're stuck, your life depends on it. At least with Fatburger, you're like, fuck, I quit, I'm out. And you just walk out. You can't quit when you're stuck in a desert.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about it in that regard. Just like the feeling.
I'm
of
no
the
quitter, thing. But at least I can walk out. Like, damn, I'm out of here. Stop this.
I don't kind of envy. Yeah, I don't envy the ocean. I've never been a super big fan of the ocean, or work in the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know, man. But look, on the scales, I think, you know, working in sewage and stuff. Because I remember this one video as well, just kind of wrapping it up back to Fatberg. There was a you know, you got those metal plates on the road where you lift them off and it's like an entry point to the sewer.
Oh, where the Ninja Turtles live.
Where the Ninja Turtles live, right? So there was a one of those metal things and it was like water was like seeping out of it. So they lifted off the lid.
Yeah.
Right? And someone had to go in for whatever reason. I don't know what it was. This thing was full to the brim, like road edge level.
I know what you're going to say. This is going to freak me out.
And it was like murky water. And a guy literally just goes and jumps in the hole.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he did in there, whether he's going to go and inspect it, wanted to kind of just do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But this guy just dives into the hole.
Yeah.
Down this drain thing.
That'd be so hard, man.
I don't know, man. Like, you can't, I don't know, you can't pay me enough money to do that. Literally, if you had a hole, a murky hole. I love the pools and I love deep water at the pool. Like, you know, when you got like a diving board and you'd go in a pool, and it's like a 4 or 6 meter deep pool.
Yeah.
I love swimming in those.
Yeah.
Right. There's something about it. Right.
Yeah.
When I feel controlled.
Yeah.
But if you've got a hole.
You feel
hole,
like a goldfish. You feel like a goldfish.
A goldfish.
Yeah.
But if you've got a hole, like a man-made hole that's filled with like dark water.
You just can't see.
Dark water. And you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You don't know what's under it.
The fear of the unknown.
That is one place. You could probably stick. You can stick a heavy ass gold suitcase in front of me.
You still won't do it.
Loaded. And I would probably still not jump in that hole.
Wow.
I don't
Interesting.
Know.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know.
It's hard. That is probably more of a scary gig than a, like a, gig. That's like a... Yeah, you gotta... Well, there's jobs like that, you know? There's people that, like, retrieve, like, stuff from, like, rivers and basins.
Forensics and stuff like that. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know if I could do that.
That's tough, man.
I don't know, man. Scuba divers, like, those forensic scuba divers.
But there's also people divers? As well that, like, they have businesses... reputable businesses as well, and like really top end stuff where they go out and like they manage and maintain these big kind of ships and yachts, and they're going down underneath the boats and like cleaning them and stuff like that.
Yeah,
getting like all the, you know, all the like sea urchins and all this kind of stuff that could potentially malfunction the engine, and there's people that do that.
Yeah,
like I wouldn't say that's like a yuck job. I'd say that's pretty. Full on.
This is fearful. This episode started off as, well, who do you not envy? Now I'm getting scared. This is fearful. Like, you know, over in the US in New York,
yeah.
I've watched a documentary where, you know, when you see on video clips and in the movies, and I say this in the movies because I haven't been there, and us Aussie folk are like, yeah, no, in the American movies. In New York City, you know how they got these like wooden looking old raggedy water tanks that sit on building roofs?
Mm-hmm.
That's a water supply for the building.
Mm.
In Australia, we've got like plumbed water that goes from like to water plants, and we've got...
It's all underground.
It's all underground, right? Yeah. And I think, I don't know if they've got it over there, but I just know that they've got these tanks. The only place we've got tanks to collect water here, nearly every new house built has a water tank,
mm-hmm.
but it's attached to the side of the house,
mm-hmm.
and it's used to collect rainwater mm-hmm. so that we can water the garden, flush the toilets, and do the washing.
Yeah.
And you can choose if you want to use it for the washing. But for everything else, the gardens and flushing toilets, it's rainwater attached to the house.
Yeah.
The only time you've got these really bigger tanks is if you live on like an acreage or a big farm, or you're in rural area and you need to collect the rain to use it for water.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got these water tanks. Every year, I have to go and get a tablespoon of, I think it's like, I think it's aluminium sulfate or something. You're supposed to put it in your tank to keep your tank clean. So I stand on the ladder and I reach in and look into my tank to put a tablespoon of this powder in the tank. And you can hear it dripping. Like, it goes,
what?
You know, Sam? And it drips. And I'm like, oh. I quickly put the powder in and I run off the chair. I just get this shiver of like, just, I don't like the tank.
Yeah.
And...
confinement. That's probably what you're afraid
and
of.
And in these tanks, on top of these roofs in New York, like, some of them are broken and stuff just falls in.
Yeah.
Like, a rat will be running and, like, fall in.
Yeah.
Like, people have to go into these tanks and get the clean stuff them.
Yeah, no.
There are tank cleaners.
Yeah.
And when you're driving along the road, sometimes you have these massive big water tanks on the side of the road. You've got to go in there and descale, clean the grime off. Can you imagine scuba diving down into one of these tanks? I don't envy that.
Yeah.
That is like... I wonder if those people have fears, or are they like bulletproof, like no fears?
I'm sure they have fears, but probably they don't have a fear of diving into a tank and cleaning it. That's for sure.
But if you don't have a fear of diving into a tank, you don't have a fear of anything.
Maybe.
That kind of tank.
Oh, geez, you got me thinking about that now.
It's eerie, isn't it?
It's going to plague on me now.
It's like eerie.
Mm.
It makes you feel uncomfortable.
Maybe we should have an episode, the next episode of like, what makes you feel uncomfortable? And I'm not like, obviously, you know, fat burger uncomfortable. I'm talking about like eerie uncomfortable.
Possibly. That's one of them, man. Let's do that next, maybe.
Eerie uncomfortableness.
Let's do that one of these episodes coming up. I don't know if it's the next one. We'll do it coming up.
Or one of the two. One
surprise
of the
people.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. Tanks. You're going to try and...
Hey. Whoa. That sound.
It's just
sounds very lonely, though.
It's eerie, man. All right. I'm going to wrap it up there because I'm getting scared.
All right, guys. Like always, journeytowherever.com. Leave a comment. Share to a friend. Star rating. Whatever. If you want to know more about us, journeytowherever.com.
Yep. All we ask is tell one friend. Tell one friend. And for all the new listeners that have joined this week.
Welcome to the fam.
Welcome to the fam. Mm-hmm. We've noticed some increased listeners and we want to welcome you to the journey.
I hope you enjoy this episode, guys. Have a great week.
Latest, bye.
See you guys. Bye. Now you got me fully thinking about that. Like
the tank?
Yeah, man.
It fucks with you, doesn't it?
It's just like it's almost like diet. Like, you know how you always talk about like you always talk about black holes, right? And in not that you always talk about it, but you talk about like the layers of it, right? Yeah. That to me is like it's a little version of a black hole. It's like, where are you going?
It's worse.
It's worse.
I'll put it to you like this. I would rather be sucked into a black hole.
No, dude.
If I know I'm going to die going into these tanks.
You're not going to die in a
hold
tank.
On. There's a very high chance I'd die if I go into a tank. If I go into a tank.
You're not going anywhere. People will find you.
No. It doesn't matter.
No one will find you in a black hole.
Huh?
No one's going to find you in a black hole.
I'll just be at the end of the black hole until I disappear.
Okay, fair enough.
Once I've gone in, you'll still see me there.
Yeah.
But if I know it was my end.
Yeah.
I'd rather it be an end in a black hole than end in a tank of water like that. Those eerie tanks. You can put me in a clear tank. You know, like those magicians, they get locked up and they go in those clear tanks.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother me. It's clear water. I'm fine with it.
It's the darkness.
It's the dark ones. Or if I go into a clear tank and there's like a drain hole in the bottom and stuff.
Yeah.
Where it goes to somewhere else.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck that. I'm out.
You know who could do that job?
Who?
Bane. I was born in the dark.
Exactly.
You know, I just thought one thing about eeriness. This can be like a bit of a teaser for like the next episode. And I'm not sure if this is possible. This is probably very movie-esque of me.
Yeah.
But I kind of think of myself as an astronaut.
Yeah.
And I'm like working on the outside of my craft.
Yeah.
Like, what's that spaceship thingy?
Yeah.
Like, what are they called?
I know where you're going with this.
Okay. And I'm like, just like using the screwdriver, tightening something. And then like my harness just goes, and I'm like floating in the, is that possible? Like you're just floating. Like you're like, Earth is like over there.
It's
like very far away. And you're like, I don't know, somewhere over there. I don't know my coordinates up in the sky.
There's no up or down.
Okay, whatever, right? I'm floating. That would be fucked. would be the worst.
Okay, there is a movie.
Yeah.
Have you not seen the movie with this in it?
No.
Okay, I'll try and find the movie title.
I don't know if I could watch it, but anyways.
No, it's worth watching.
Yeah.
There is a movie.
Yeah.
And it's got some shit in it.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
That would be the worst for me. Like just my harness or something snaps. I'm like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. And I'm like, and I'm just floating in the middle of outer space.
That'd be worse than being sucked into a black hole.
Yes.
I'd hope I pass.
And I'm like, where are you going? You are at the mercy of what? Where are you going?
Nowhere.
Exactly. But you're floating. So you've got this slow death.
Well, it's not actually floating. You're actually traveling quite fast. Yeah. You're traveling very fast to your death that feels very slow, which means it's like a fast week, but a slow ass day. It's like a mind fuck. It's like you're like flying through the air, but it doesn't feel like you're flying through the air, but you know you're flying very fast to your death, which takes a very long time.
Anyways.
That would be scary. Your heart would like beat and you're just like... Yeah, I don't know.
No.
That's a good one. I'll try and find the movie for you and I'll tell you what it is so that you can watch this movie. It's good.
Awesome.
All right. All right, later. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, this is Ivan. I'm chiming back in. I just did a search. The movie is called Gravity, starring Sandra Bullock and George Clooney. Go and check it out. Bye.